All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Good morning. Can you turn it up? Just I don't think it's on. Yeah. All right, we'll say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. Baruch Hashem, a lot to do today. Good night, everyone. Begin by thanking our sponsors. Thank you. To thank Paul and Kathy Pollack for dedicating all the Shimon Drashos this month in memory of Paul's parents, Shmuel ben Zechariah and Sarah Bas Avram. And to thank Avram and Shani Kalman for dedicating the Shimon this month in memory of Avram's mother, Sarah Brina Bas Yoshua Heschel. We thank our sponsors for their dedication and generosity. We hope to know the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama Slav and Aliyah, and the families in Nechama. With that, let us begin. Baruch Hashem, we have a really exciting daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Yud Beis, but we have a lot to cover, Baruch Hashem. So we are beginning from Yud Aleph on Beis 11b, and we are picking up Emir Tzah Hashem, V'cheivan Shemis Abros. Shavuot says, so it is approximately 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15 lines up from the 15 lines down from the top. Sorry. So, V'chevim Hashem is Abros. So, remember again, we were speaking about the Gemara introduced this section by saying, B'schus Nashim Tzidkonios, in the merit of righteous women, Klal Yisrael was redeemed. And we were seeing about the incredible, miraculous, dynamic activities. How when they drew water again, fish came in the water. Water was in the water. Right? They would go ahead and feed their husbands, clean their husbands, bathe their husbands, become intimate with their husbands, become pregnant. Now the Gemara says, "V'chei Mishem is Abros, Baos Lavateim." Now the women became pregnant. Jewish women became pregnant. They came to their homes. V'chei Mishem Agias Man Moldehen Holchos V'Yodos Basada. Now remember again, when it came time for them to give birth, they would go to give birth in the field. Underneath the apple tree, Shneemar, Tachas Hatapuach Oror Ticha. Also, isn't that beautiful? This Gemara is. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Sholeach Mishmei Morom, Mishaman Kir Umashpir Oson Kechay Yezushem Mishaparas Hasavlad. And Hakadosh Baruch Hu would send down Malachim to essentially act as midwives for the Jewish women when they gave birth, to go ahead and clean up the babies after birth. Shneemar Molar Taich Piyom Holadas Osach. And each malach would go ahead and bring, literally, igulin is like a circle, but two cakes. Echad shal shemen, vechad shal dvash. And the malachim would bring two igulin, these two circles, one of oil and one of honey, to be able to anoint the children, to feed the children. Shnei mar, vayenekeu dvash misela v'shemen. V'cheven shemakirin v'ayim, v'ayim mitzvim, v'ayim lahargam. Now remember again, so obviously, so every child, every Jewish child was in danger in Egypt. We'll talk about this in just a little bit again. When the Egyptians would realize that the Jewish women were giving birth, so the children ultimately again were in mortal danger. So what happened? It's incredible. So remember again, the Jewish women are giving birth out in the field. The Egyptians would come to kill the babies. A miracle occurred and the children would become swallowed up in the earth. This is incredible. They would become swallowed up in the earth as a way to protect them. So the Egyptians would not relent. They brought axes with plows to try to plow up the children. So now again, they were unsuccessful. So the Egyptians left. The parents also left. After the Egyptians left, sometime later, the children would kiviyachol pop out of the ground like blades of grass. Shene emar rivava kitzemach hasada nesaticha. V'cheivan shemiskadlin, as the children would get older and were out of mortal danger, bo'in adarim adarim lebetein. I'll say, if you can imagine that scene, right? So the children would come back in groups, right? They would come back in groups to their homes. Shene emar v'atirbi v'tikdili v'tavoi ba'adi adayim. Al tikri ba'adi adayim ela be'edre adarim. And when the Ribono Shel Olam ultimately revealed himself to the Jewish people by the splitting of the Red Sea, Heim Hikiru Tchila. These children, the miracle children, who were born in the field, swallowed up by the earth, protected by the earth, and then sprouted up like grass to be able to go back home afterwards, these were the children who recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu first. Shene'emar Zekeli Va'andehu. So this is actually quite incredible, because again, Rashi on the Pasuk also quotes this idea. Remember, again, I will say in Az Yashir, we're going to say this in 2 days from now. Say this in 2 days from now, Shvi Yishal Pesach. So remember again, in Az Yashir, we have this phrase, Zekeli Va'andehu, this is my God and I will exalt him. And Rashi already points out the idea of Zekiel Ivan Veyu to mean that they were literally able to point to God. This is my God. So here the Gemara says, who were the people who recognized, that, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu first? It was these miracle children, right? These children born in the field, initially tended to by the Malachim, swallowed up in the earth to protect them from the wrath of the Egyptians, sprouting up like grass, and then going back home in droves. So we'll say, so back to the Egypt story. So remember again, Paro said to the Jewish midwives, so Rabbi Shmuel, Chad Amar Isha Ubita. So Rosa, I want to point out over here, remember, the Torah does not tell us who these midwives were. Right? The Torah doesn't divulge their identity. Oh, I think I froze over here. Okay. All right. Chevron Zoom, do you still hear me? I'm frozen on this. 1 second. I'm sorry. Okay, Chevron, give me 1 second. I'm sorry. Let's try this again. All right, so we'll say, so the Gemara says as follows, Yor Melech Mitzrayim L'mialdos HaEvrios. So ultimately, Hashem said, Paro said to the Jewish midwives. So who were the Jewish midwives? Rav Shmuel, Chad Amar Isha Ubita. One said it refers ultimately again to a woman and her daughter. V'chad Amar Kala V'chamosa. And the other said that it refers ultimately again to a mother and her daughter-in-law. Mandar Amar Isha Ubita. The one who says that it's a mother and a daughter. Yocheved Miriam. This is Chavid and Miriam. Umandam Rakala v'chamosa, the one who says that it's a mother and her daughter-in-law, Yochaved ve'Elisheva. Ultimately, again, it's Yochaved and Elisheva. Elisheva was the wife of Aaron. So Tanya Kimandam Isho Bita. So I'll say, according to the opinion who says that it was a woman and her daughter, the Sanya Shifra zu Yochaved. Shifra was Yochaved. V'lamanik Rashma Shifra. Why was he called Shifra? Why was she called Shifra? Shemeshaparasa Savlad. Because she would clean up the child. She would clean up the baby. So the Gemara says, Shemeshaparas Esavlad. Good. Davar Acher, other possibility. Shepara Verabba Yisrael Biyameha. Ultimately, Klal Yisrael had Peri of Arivia. Klal Yisrael again multiplied during her days. Pua, who's Pua? Zumiriam. Falamani Krishma Pua. Why was she called Pua? Shai Sapoa. Old Rashi says Pua means she would coo to the baby. She would go with the baby, Davar Acher Pua, Shai Sapoa, Beruach HaKodesh Va'omeret. Miriam herself called out, cried out in Ruach HaKodesh, and she said, Asi the Imi, Shetelet Bein Shemoshias Yisrael. My mother ultimately again will give birth to a child who will go ahead and save the Jewish people. Good. So Paras says to them, Vayomer, Be'elad Chanes HaIvrios. So Paras said to them again, when you go ahead and you birth the Jewish women, if it's a boy, kill it. Gilet my avnayim. So again, it says when they're on their birthing stool. What's the avnayim? On Rav Chanan, simen godol masra lohem. Paro gave them a simen. What was the simen? Amar lohem bishash shekol ra'as leleid yirakosam mitstananos kavanim. When a woman is about to give birth, literally again, her thighs become stiff. Right, mitstananos means cold and stiff, like stones. Just like, again, a stone worker. Ultimately, again, he has a one leg on one side, one leg on the other side. So when a woman gives birth, ultimately, one leg is on one side, one leg is on the other side, and she gives birth. In Benhu of Amitin also. If it's a boy, kill the child. Amrim Chanina, Simen Gadol Masra Lahem. Ultimately, again, he gave them an incredible simen. What was the simen? Ben Panav Limata, Bas Paneha Limala. If it's a son, the baby will be born face down. And if it's a girl, the baby is born face up. All right, Paro had this simen. Vaterna Miyado Sesal Kivala Asukasher Dibra Aleim Paro. So remember again, the midwives feared HaKadosh Baruch Hu and did not do as Paro asked of them. To which the Gemara says, now here's what's interesting. It says, V'lo asu kasher diber alehen. They did not do what Paro spoke onto them. It should have said lahem miboyle. It should have said to them, not onto them. Not only that, Paro propositioned them to engage in immorality. Velo nitpu, but they did not go ahead and accept his overtures. Vatechenas eladim, and they literally again caused the babies to live. Tana lo daishlem isosa. Not only did they not kill the children, but ultimately, again, they fed and took care of the children as well. So literally, again, they went ahead and... Let me just shut this down. I'm sorry. None of this is working. Okay. Kodesh Baruch Hu has different plans for today. Good. So the Gemara says as follows. Ultimately, again, not only did they not go ahead and kill the children, but ultimately, again, they gave them mayim umazon, water and food. Vatomarna miyado says Paro kilo kanoshim, because the midwives said to Paro, the Jewish women are not like other women. What does that mean? Because it says kichayos heina. Now, so what does it mean kichayos? So the Gemara says my chayos ilay my chayos mamish. If Yocheved and Miriam were saying to Paro that the Jewish women themselves are like midwives, so the Gemara says, "Atu chaya milotzvicha chaya achrisi la la dua." Doesn't one midwife still need another midwife to help her give birth? Ela amru la umazu kechayin imshala. Rather, what they were saying was, this nation are compared to animals. How so? Yehuda gur arye, Dan yehi dan nachash, Naftali ayula shalucha, Yisachar chamer garam, Yosef Bachar Shar, Binyamin Ze'ev Yitrov, Dichsiv Beik Sivbei. So also you see that many of the Shvatim themselves are compared to animals. So those Shvatim have their animal references. Dilok Sivbei. What about the Shvatim that are not explicitly compared to an animal? Ksivbei, it says about them, Ma'imcha Levia Ben Arayos Yavtsa. Your mother is like a lioness amongst us. So you see over here that ultimately, again, the Jewish people are compared to animals. Now, what was Shifron Yocheved saying? Just like animals give birth in the wild what were Yocheved and Miriam saying? Just like animals give birth in the wild without assistance, so too the Jewish women are able to give birth without assistance. The midwives feared HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore Hashem made them homes. What kind of homes? Rav Shmuel Chad Amar Batei Kuna Ulevia. One opinion says homes of Kuna and Levia, reference to Moshe and Aaron. The Chad Amar Batei Melucha Malchus. Others said monarchy. So Man Damar Batei Kuna Levia Aaron and Moshe. So the one who says that Shifra, that Miriam and Yocheved were giving Kuna and Levia, that's Aaron and Moshe. Man Damar Batei Malchus. What about monarchy? David Nami Miriam Kasi. Because David HaMelech was a descendant of Miriam. Dechsev Vatamas Azuva Eshes Kalev. Vayikach lo Kalev es Efrat. Vatela lo Eschor. Uksiv vin David ben Ish Efrati. So we'll say so again. Amazing. By the way, they're both correct. That the reward for Miriam and Yocheved heeding the word of God and not really listening to the plan of Paro was that they were blessed to be the mothers of Kuhuna, Levia, and Malchus. Pretty incredible. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Kalev ben Chesron holides Azuva, Isha, Ves Yirios, Va'ala Baneha, Va'ala, Baneha Yashar, Veshoviv, Va'ardon. Okay, so let's analyze this pasuk. So the Torah, so the Navi over here identifies as Kalev ben Chesron, to which the Gemara says, Ben Chesron, Ben Yefunahu. Kalev wasn't the son of Chesron. I will say, remember again, we know Kalev ben Yefuna. His father was Yefuna. To which the Gemara says, rather what? What do we say? Ben. Sheparame Ansas Miraglim. So I will say, ultimately, again, Ben Chesron was his real name. Ben Yefuna, ultimately, again, was the descriptive name. And what did it describe? It described the fact that he turned away from the counsel of the Miraglim. Vakati Ben Knazu. But still, again, still, Kalev wasn't Ben Chesron, wasn't Ben Yefuna. He was actually son of Knaz. Dechsev, Vayil Kadeh Asniel Ben Knaz, Achi Kalev. So what's he see over here? That Asniel ben Kenaz was called the brother of Kalev. So therefore, again, it's really Kalev ben Kenaz. Amarava chogro de Kenaz haba. He was the stepson of Kenaz. So therefore, again, also the Gemara says his real father was Chesron. Yefuna, right? Kenaz was a stepfather. And Ben Yefuna was a descriptive name that he turned away from the council of the Meraglim. We'll say, Yud Beis, 12a, Daikanami Dechsev Haknizi, Shemamina. Fine. We'll say Azuva. Now remember, interestingly enough, it says that Kalev ben Chetzron went ahead and birthed Azuva. Who is Azuva? This is an incredible Gemara. Azuva, Zu Miriam. Azuva is Miriam. V'lama nikres, v'lama nikres, shma Azuva. Why was she called Azuva? Now remember again, Azuva literally means the forsaken one. So why was Miriam called Azuva? To which the Gemara said, well, listen to this. Why is Miriam called Azuva? Shakol Azvuha Mitrilasa. I will say, initially, everyone left Miriam. I will say, now, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. It's actually a pretty amazing Rashi. Azuva, Shakol Azvuha, Shemetrila Holonas Haiseki, the Kari Le Hacha. So come on, Kari Le Nami Chalav Azuva, Shazvuha, Kol Bachuri Yisra Miliso. So I will say, listen to this. Miriam couldn't get a shidduch. No one would marry Miriam. Right? Why? Because Lamai says she was sickly. She was sickly. So that's why Azuva is a descriptive name. No one would marry Miriam. Shakol Azuva mitchilasa. So the Gemara says, listen to this. Therefore, again, the pasuk seems to indicate that Kalev married Miriam. The Gemara says, so why does it say holid? Why does it say that Kalev birthed Miriam? Valo minsav havanasavla. He married her. I'm Rabbi Yochanan to teach us an incredible lesson. Kalanose isha l'shem shamayim. Whoever marries a woman, I will say l'shem shamayim for literally again some greater cause, some greater calling. So what does the Gemara say? Ma'ala ala v'kasav kili yelada. It's as if he birthed her. It's as if he birthed her. In other words, I will say no one wanted to marry Miriam because she was sickly. Kalev saw that this is a holy woman. Look at her brothers. And the Gemara says that if you want to know the quality of a woman, look at her brothers. Look at her brothers. Look at the family that she was brought up in. That's a pretty good litmus test as to who this girl is. So obviously, Kalev sees Miriam's brothers, who happen to be Moshe and Aaron. Kalev says, this is a pious, virtuous woman. He marries her. The Pasuk calls it as if he birthed her, because essentially by marrying her, he gave her life. He gave her life. It's so beautiful. See Yerios. Why does it call Miriam Yerios? Shayopanea domenli Yerios. Miriam was as pale as a curtain. Ve'ela baneha. Al tikri baneha ela boneha. Don't read it as these are our children. Rather, this is the one who built her up. Reference to Kalev. And these names are a metaphorical allusion to Kalev. Yashar. Kalev is called Yashar. Why? She yishres atzmo. Because he straightened himself out and did not follow after the counsel of the Meraglim. Shovev. Sheshivev es Yitzro. Ultimately, again, he reigned in his Yetzer once again to go ahead and avoid falling prey to the Meraglim. The Ardon, Sherada, Es Yitzro. Literally, again, he subdued his Yetzer. I will say, it's incredible, by the way, just to understand, all of these things are a reference, ultimately, to what? To the fact that Kalev would not follow the counsel of the wicked, of the Meraglim. So I will say, which tells you how strong that pull must have been for Kalev to fall in line with the rest of the Meraglim. It's absolutely incredible. Think of Damri, others say, Ashayu Paneha Domin Levered. Ultimately, again, that Miriam's face became like a rose. Le'achshar u'la'ashchar avitakua hayu shtei nashim chala v'na'ara. So once again, I'm going to say, who does this pasuk refer to? Ashchar ze Kalev. This refers to Kalev. V'lama nikra shmo Ashchar. Ultimately, again, why is his name called Ashchar? Shehushcharu panav b'ta'anios. Because his face was blackened. His face was blackened as a result of a series of fasts. Rabbi will say, why fasts? These are fasts that he undertook. These are fasts that he undertook in order not to fall prey to the Meraglim. Or really, again, according to Rashi, after the Meraglim went ahead and delivered their report. Rashi says, Shekiba laftanios harbe shinat salmi atzas Meraglim. That he should be saved from the counsel of the Meraglim. Avi, shinasa laka'av. He's called Avi because he became to Miriam like a father. Takua, shetaka slibal avisho shamayim. Ultimately, again, he embedded his heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hayushtei Nashim. He had two wives. Naasem Miriam kishtei Nashim. Miriam herself became like two different women. Chala v'na'ara. Lo chana v'la'ara havi, ela Betchila chala, in the beginning she was sickly, ulubasof nara, and in the end, ultimately again, she became like a vibrant woman. Obenei chala, saras v'tsohar v'esnan, saras, shenas is saras l'chavrosel. It was like Kalev did such an amazing job, kind of nursing Miriam back to health, that ultimately again, she became like a rival wife. Meaning, in other words, she became so beautiful that she rivaled other women. Sohar, shahayu panei adam kitzaraim. Her face became as luminescent as the sun midday. Esnan, why is she called Esnan? Shekalara osa molich Esnan liishto. She's called Esnan because ultimately, again, anyone who saw her became aroused and gave like a present to his wife so that his wife would be intimate with him. Incredible. So I'll say, so just want to point out, it's just, this is a story I will say, not just that last part, but like, this is just a story about Miriam. It's such a dramatic one, right? A young woman could not find anyone to marry her because at the end of the day, she was sickly. And Kalev goes ahead and marries her, l'shem shamayim, marries her because he understood that this was a special woman. She didn't check the boxes that everyone else had for shiduchim, but he saw the greatness in her, married her, and I will say again, gave her a new lease on life. It's incredible. It also tells you, by the way, about the power that a husband could bring to a marriage. That a husband has the ability, literally, to bring life to his wife. Everyone knows that a wife could do this for a husband. That's obvious. That's obvious, we know. I will say, sometimes a husband underestimates the power that he has to give life to his wife. That sometimes when a wife is struggling, again, everyone knows when a husband is struggling, a wife absolutely has the power to pick him up. The koach of a wife can never be fully captured, can be fully described. But sometimes husbands underestimate their power to be a source of life, to be a source of confidence, to be a source of rebirth for their wives as well. We see that from Kalev and Miriam. Incredible. Vayitzav Paro l'cholamo. So Paro commanded his entire nation. Now remember, again, I will say, this is a reference over here, ultimately, again, to Paro telling his nation, Kala bein hayilot hayiora tashlichuhu, right? That ultimately, again, you have to throw every baby into the Nile. Some Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, af al amo gazar. I will say there was a certain point where Paro not only decreed on the Jewish people, but what? Decreed on his nation as well. Everyone had to throw their babies into the Nile. Listen to this. There are actually three different gzeros. Listen to this. So the Gemara says, "Betchila im beinu v'amiten also." Rabbi says, in the beginning, ultimately, again, Paro just simply relied on the midwives to go out and kill the baby boys. Ulabasof kalabin hayilod hayorat hashlichuhu. Rabbi says, then ultimately, again, Paro went ahead and appointed like guards, right? He brought officers, enforcement officers, to ensure that the babies were thrown into the Nile. And what happens? Ulubasof af al amal gazar. And I will say, in the end, he even decreed upon his own nation. I will say, first wide line, you'd base Ahmed Aleph 12a. In the end, he even decreed upon his own people. Vayelech ishmi beis Levi. So again, what was a little bit confusing in Skimaras, we're jumping around in the timeline of the narrative a little bit. Okay, so what happens? So there was a man from beis Levi. So where did he go? Lehechan halach. Amar Avida bar Zavina shalach pa'atzas bito. Rabbi says, incredible. Where did he go? He followed the counsel of his daughter. Rabbi says, who's this talking about? Tana, Amram gadol hadar haya. Amram, who was, remember again, Yocheved's husband, the father of Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. Amram was the gadol hadar. Kevan sha'ra'a sha'amar paro harasha kalabina yiladayir tashlichu. Once he saw that Paro said, throw the babies into the Nile. So Amar, l'shav anu amelim. So Amram said, what are we doing? We're toiling for nothing. In other words, we're having families only for Paro to go ahead and throw our children into the Nile. So what did he do? Amad v'giresh es ishto. He went ahead, he stood up, he divorced his wife. So Amram divorced his wife. He said, what is the point of having children if our children are just going to be thrown into the Nile? Amdukulan v'giresh es nishosein. So sure enough, after Amram did this, what happened? Everyone else followed suit. They also divorced their wives. Amrulah bito. So Miriam, approached her father. Miriam approached her father Amram, and she said, "Abba, kasha gzeiras chal yosef mishal paro. Father, your gzeira is even worse than Paro's. How so? She paro lo gazer ala ala scharim. Paro only decreed upon the male children. The ata gazarta ala scharim ala nekevus. And you ultimately, father, your gzeira is on boys and girls. Boys and girls. Paro lo gazer ala ba'olam hazeh. Furthermore, Paro's gzeira is only in this world. The ata ba'olam hazeh uli olam haba. And you, father, your gzeira is in this world and in the world to come." I both say, this is actually very interesting. What does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi is almost right across. Rashi, "Ele ba'olam hazeh, shenoldim umesim v'chozim v'chaymin le'olam haba. Afta gazarta ba'olam hazeh u'ba'olam haba, shekevan she'inam noladim ein ba'in le'olam haba." This is incredible. Miriam said to her father like this, Paro's gzeira is in this world, right? The babies are born into this world, they're killed, but at least when they're killed, they go to olam haba. Father, your gzeira is in olam hazeh and olam haba. Rabosai, you can't go to olam haba without first coming to olam hazeh. So Miriam was saying something amazing. She was saying, Father, you're preventing neshamas from going to olam haba. Because at least if they're born into this world, even if they die, they get to go to olam haba. But by you divorcing your wife, not having any children, you're preventing those neshamas from coming into olam hazeh and then ultimately going into olam haba. An incredible, incredible yisod. There's much to talk about there, because I just want to point out, we use the term olam haba to really refer to a lot of different things, right? We use olam haba to refer to where you go after you die. We use olam haba to refer to the messianic era, right? Here, the Gemara seems to be saying is, we always assume that, like, if you're never born, you remain in olam haba. Here, the Gemara seems to be saying is, no, you have to be born in order to go to olam haba. Okay, a lot to discuss, not for today. So the Gemara goes right there. Para harasha, safek miskayemes gzeiroso, safek in miskayemes. Right, Paro's a rasha, so maybe his decree will come about, maybe it won't. Ato tzadik, bevade shegzeiros chamiskayemes. But Father, you're a tzadik, certainly your gzeiro ultimately, again, will be upheld. Shnei Amar, Vatigzar Va'omer, Vatigzar Va'omer. So good. But I'll say, because remember, again, the words of a tzaddik always come to fruition. So I will say, this was the Musar. This was the Musar that Miriam gave her father. Amram hears it, and what does he do? So Vayakam lecha amad vehechsir es ishto. So Amram listened to the Musar of his daughter, remarried his wife. Remarried Yochaved. Amdu kulan vechziras nishal seyan. Ultimately, Gina Bosei, what happened? Everyone else followed suit. So I will say, so what happens? Vayikach, then it says, ultimately, again, that's what I will say. I just want to point out, that's why the Pasuk says, coming full circle, Vayelech ish mi beis Levi. Right, so going full circle, where was he going? So the answer is he had divorced his wife. This is Amram. Miriam gave him the Musar. And then what happened? Vayelech ish, he went ahead and he remarried her. Vayikach, right, he married her. I'll say, by the way, I just want to point out the dramatic nature of this story is that Amram listened to his child. I will say, most of us have difficulty accepting Musar, and we certainly have difficulty accepting Musar from people who are our junior, right? That's for sure. And certainly, again, Musar from a child is a little bit unheard of. But remember, again, Amram was the living embodiment of Ezu Chacham Halomed Mikol Adam. He recognized that at the end of the day, his daughter was absolutely right. And to his credit, he heeds her advice. Now, I will just point out something very interesting. Well, let's finish up. He says, Vayikach, Paul says he took her, Vayachsoi Boile. It shouldn't say that he took her. Rather, what should he say? He remarried her. Right? He remarried her. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda bar Zavina, Sha'asala Maisa Likuchin, Hoshiva Ba'apirion, Va'aron. So we'll say, what happened? Vayikach means Aaron made a big chasana. A big chasana. He made a big deal about this, right? Let's say, Hoshiva Piria means Yocheved sat like on a big collar chair, right? On a big collar chair. Listen to this. Listen how beautiful this is. Va'aron u'miriam miraktin lefaneha. and Aaron and Miriam were dancing in front of their parents at the chasana. Umalachi Asharis, Amr, the Malachi Asharis came down and they sang, Eim Habanim Snecha. Wow. He'll say, isn't that beautiful? Right? The Malachim come down and they say, oh, the mother of the children is so happy, right? As Bas Levi. So we'll say, so I just want to point out, so we'll say, I so brought down a fascinating idea. Why did Amram make such a big chasana? Right? Why make such a big chasana? You just have some herring and kichel, right? A little herring and kichel, some Canadian club, right? And we're good to go, right? Why do you need to make a hole to do? So we'll say, so remember again, it makes a lot of sense. Why? Because Amram, when he divorced his wife, it made a big deal, right? What did the Gemara say? Everyone else divorced their wives as well. So Amram needed to make it very public that he was remarrying his wife. So I'll say, so therefore, again, he makes a big chasana in order that everyone should see it. I'll say, I want to point out something amazing. The Mefarshim bring down a fascinating dynamic. If you go a little bit further on in Chumash, you will notice something fascinating, which is the tribe of Levi has much lower numbers than everyone else, right? Why? I saw something amazing brought down. Why? So we'll say, in fact, so the reason why is it appears that many of the men of Levi did not remarry their wives after having divorced them initially. As a result, the birth rate of Levi was lower than the rest of the Shvatim, which I will say is an amazing, amazing thing. Now, so again, remember, Amram is from Shevet Levi. So it appears that many of the men, not appears, the Gemara says, many of the men of Levi followed suit, divorced their wives after Amram divorced his wife. Amram makes a big chasana to show I'm remarrying my wife. But it appears that many of the men of Levi did not follow suit. Which I will say tells you something absolutely amazing. Sometimes in life, we do something and then we retract it. But sometimes, once you kind of put out there a certain mode of behavior, it's very difficult to dial it back. Now, I want to be clear. Amram didn't do anything wrong, right? Amram felt that he did what he had to do, given the nature of the decree of Paro. It's just one of these interesting things in life that we like to often think that once, whatever you do, you could always rein back in. And whatever you do, you could kind of always dial it back. And in life, you can't. The way it often happens is kind of once you put something out there, it's very difficult to rein it back in. Obviously, there are dramatic examples of this, like Lashon Hara, right? But even things not as severe as Lashon Hara. Sometimes you say something, and once you say it, we know this well, so it happens all the time, right? You could apologize, I'm here until tomorrow. You can never take back something you say. You could apologize for it. You could be incredibly, like, mournful and sorrowful about it, but you cannot take it back. Certain actions, once they're done, they cannot be undone. It appears that Amram was never fully able to undo the dynamic of having divorced his wife. An incredible, incredible yisod. The Gemara goes weiter. Efsher, and now calls Yocheved a Bas Levi. Bas Levi. Efsher Bas Meir Shloshim Shana Havya. The Karle Bas. Now obviously, again, people lived much longer, but again, 130 is no spring chicken, right? So why are you calling her Bas? Remember again, Yocheved was, just say how old she was, Yocheved ultimately, again, was conceived on the way down to Egypt, and was born when Yaakov Avinu first came down to Egypt. So Yocheved was incredibly old. Amrav Yehuda, Shenaldu Basimani Naros. A miracle occurred, and Yocheved became a young woman again. Right? She became a young woman again. Vatar Isha Vatelet Bain. So she became pregnant, she had a son. So Vaha Havas M'Abra Beit Plus Yachem Eikara. Here's what's interesting. Yocheved was already pregnant at the time of this pasuk. So why does it make it sound like she's becoming pregnant now? Compares her the conception to the birth, or the birth to the conception. Just like a woman conceives without tsar. So too when Yocheved gave birth to Moshe, the birth was without pain. Now remember again, before the days of epidurals, right? So remember again, so what does it mean that her birth, how could that be that the birth of a child was without pain? I'm supposed to listen to this. Makan, the Nushim Sidkanios, Shalo Hayuba Piska Shalchava. I'm supposed to say, it's incredible Gemara. What do you see from here? You see from here, righteous women We're not under the decree of Chava, right? I will say part of the decree of Chava was Be'itzvi tel dibanim. You will have pain when you give birth. Righteous women, ultimately, again, are not bound by the decree of Chava, and they have the ability to give birth even without pain. Pretty incredible. Vatera osa kitov. So also remember again, now Yocheved gives birth to Moshe. The pasuk says she saw that he was good. What does that mean? To which the Gemara says, Tanya Meir Omer Tov Shmo. Also this is Rabbi Meir says his name was Tov. That was the baby's name. Vatera osa kitov hu, that Yocheved named her son Tov. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tovia Shmo, or Tovia Shmo. Moshe Rabbeinu's name was Tovia. Also, but I just want to point out, just to understand, we call Moshe Moshe. I will say one thing is clear, which is that what? That was not his given birth name. Right? How do we know that? Who gives him the name Moshe? Basparo. So I will say the Mefarshim already addressed this, by the way, about how the greatest prophet of all time is known by the name that Basparo gave him. So it's a whole discussion. In any event, the point is the Gemara says over here, Moshe Rabbeinu's birth name was Tov, or Tovia. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Hagun Lenevius. Tofu means that he was already fit from birth, right? It was already clear that he was fit for prophecy. Achenim Omrim, Nolan Kachumal, he was born circumcised. Chum Nechum say, Bishash Nolan Moshe, Nesmali Habayas Kula Or. Moshe is beautiful. When Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the entire home was filled with light. Moshe, remember again, that's what it means. Vatira also ki tofu. We're just trying to figure out what does it mean that he was born and Yocheved saw that he was good. So possibility one is that his name was Tov. Possibility two, his name was Tovia. Possibility two, she saw that he was fit for prophecy. Three, he was fit for prophecy. Possibility four, when he was born, ultimately, again, the home was filled with light. Ksivara, Vatera also Kitovu. It says over here that she saw that he was good. Oksiv Hasam, Vayara Kimesaar Kitov. Like Zer Shava. She hid him for 3 months, to which the Gemara says, Delomano Mitzum Elamishada Hadra. Listen to this. Interestingly enough, it appears that actually Yocheved was pregnant already from at the moment that Amram divorced her without even realizing it. Ultimately, again, she was pregnant. So ultimately, again, when he remarried her, she was already a little bit advanced in the pregnancy. The mitzvah only counted from the time that he remarried her. She was already 3 months pregnant at the time that she and Amram remarried. Therefore, again, the mitzvah was said, so she had 3 months in which she was able to hide the baby in the house. But she was no longer able to hide Moshe in the house. Amai, why not? If she hid him for 3 months, why can't she continue to hide him? Let's listen to this. Ella, call heichad the hava shemia mitzri the misyalad yinuka memat yinuka asam ki heichad l'shamano me'avi ba'adayu. So let's listen to this. So apparently, dechsev achazulano shu'alim kitanim. So I will say, interestingly enough, apparently, the mitzrim, how would the mitzrim know if someone was hiding a baby? They would bring another baby. Right, and they would bring a baby to the house, and the baby, the Egyptian baby, they would make it start crying. So I guess the way babies work is when one baby starts crying, what happens? Everyone else, but see, nobody ever see this. If you ever see babies in a nursery, right, it's an interesting thing. Where do you see this? I don't know. I'm sure there's a reason for it, right? But Lamai says the mitzvah had a very good idea. They knew Jews were hiding babies. They knew it. So what would they do? They'd bring another baby at the entranceway, caused the first baby to cry, and if there was a Jewish baby in hiding, that baby would be found out. So what ends up happening? So therefore, again, they had no choice but to put baby Moshe in a basket. So they take a reed basket. Maishna guma. We'll say why reed basket. Rabbi Lazar, mikam letzadikim shemamonim chaver alem yosem igufan. So that's interesting. So in other words, why not make a basket of a more expensive material? So you see from here that tzadikim are very careful with their money. They're careful with their money, right? Literally translated, their money is more important to them than their physicality, than their body. The kol kach lama lefi shem poshni de megezel. Because since the tzaddikim don't steal, therefore, again, they're very careful about how they spend their money. Now, I just want to point out, Pashup Shat, Why did Amram and Yocheved not spend money on the basket of Moshe? Why not? Simple reason. They thought he was doomed. In other words, there was no Havamina that they had that he was going to survive. You have to put in your Ishtadlus. It was just to point out, they just fashioned any kind of basket because the thought that their son somehow is going to survive this idea or ordeal, there was nothing further from their mind. To which the Gemara says, so Rabbi Shua bar Nachmani Omer, Davarach, No. They purposely made the basket out of reeds. Why? Because they both say reeds are soft. Reeds are soft. What's the good thing about having a soft basket? If it hits against something soft or hard, it'll rebound. Which I will say, by the way, is such a profound metaphor. You see, in life, if you're kasha, right? In life, if you're hard, if you're stiff, if you're rigid, if you're immobile, then what happens when you hit against something else that is stiff, rigid, and immobile? What happens? You break. So I will say, if you're soft, if you're fluid, if you're willing to adapt, I will say, you know, the greatest muscle of this, I always tell my children this. You know, my children love the ocean. I love the ocean as well. I will say, you know, when there's a wave coming, right? We saw this, when there's a wave coming, we'll say, so if you go ahead and you puff out your chest, right? I'm the man, right? Right? The ocean's not going to take me. We'll say, what happens? You will get knocked over by that wave. Mashane Kane, if you bend your head, right? You bend your head, you go into the wave passes right over you. It's an incredible metaphor for life. If a person always has to be right, person always has to stand their ground, a person is unwilling to collaborate, person is unwilling to yield, right? You're the dover kasha, you're the hard item, you're gonna get smacked down. But if you're davarach, if you're a reed basket, if you're willing to bend your head, willing to compromise, willing to yield, willing to give in, willing to go with the flow, there is almost nothing you will not be able to overcome. Incredible Gemara. So let's go weiter. So the Gemara says, furthermore, the Gemara says, Vatach mira, bezefes. So they smeared it with clay and with tar. Tara chamer bifnei bezefes mibachutz. They went ahead and they put the clay on the inside and the tar on the outside. It will say tar has a smell, right? Kedish liyaniach riyariach also tzadik riach ra. So that Moshe Rabbeinu, a little baby Moshe, should not be negatively impacted by the smell. Vatasem bas hayeled, vatasem basof. So what happens? They put the baby into the basket and they put the basket in the reeds. So Rabbi Elazar Omer Yam Suf. That was incredible. Where was Moshe Rabbeinu set afloat in the Yam Suf? Now I will say, it's hard to reconcile it. Because remember again, the Yam Suf is a little bit outside of Egypt. Okay. But Lamaisa, they put him in the Suf. So some say Moshe Rabbeinu was actually set afloat in the Yam Suf. Rabbi Shua bar Nachmani Amar, no, Amad Beis, Agam. I will say Agam literally means like a marsh. Like a marsh. But in this context, it really means denial. It means denial. Kedichsev. So remember again, so you have to understand like the split screen over here. Moshe Rabbeinu is set afloat in the basket. At that moment, who goes down to wash by the Nile? Bas Paro. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishra Bishama Yochai. Melamed Shiyarda Lirchotz Megilule Beis Aviyah. Megilule Aviyah. They will say this was no ordinary washing. Rather, ultimately, again, why was she going down? She was going to cleanse herself of the idolatry of her father's home. In other words, they will say, I just want to point out what's happening over here. In the very moment that Moshe Rabbeinu is set afloat on the Nile, the daughter of Paro decides that she has had enough with the polytheistic, idolatrous, hedonistic lifestyle of her father's home. Right? That's the split. These two events are occurring simultaneously. V'cheinu Omer Imrachas Hashem Es Tzas Ben Osion V'yar Osea Holchos. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Ein halicha zu el lashon misa. Halicha ultimately again could also mean death. What does this mean? V'cheinu Omer Hine Anochi Holich Lamos. So ultimately, again, she sees the basket. So I will say, remember again, she's going down. Now, by the way, the Misa piece, we'll see in just a moment. Who's going to death? Who's being killed? We'll see in just a moment. So I will say, so as she's going down to the Nile, not just simply to wash, but to wash away any vestige of the negativity of her father's home, what does she see over here? She sees the basket. We'll say first white line. So now what happens? She sees the basket, and obviously she's ready to save the baby in the basket. As she's getting ready to save the baby, Amrula Givirasenu. So her servants who are with her say to her, our mistress, Minagino Shal Olam, the way it works in the world, Melech Basar Adam, when an earthly king decrees, so goes Exera Imkala Olam Kula Im Mekaiminosa. Banavu b'nei beisa mekaiminosa va'at overes al gzera savicha. So they say to Basar, you know, the way the world works is, whenever a leader makes decrees, one thing is for sure, which is what? People are going to transgress. But at least who keeps the decrees? Who keeps the decrees? The members of his own household, right? You're going to transgress the very mandate of your father said, the Jewish babies have to be killed. And now you're going to go ahead and save this Jewish baby. Ba Gavriel v'chavtan bakarka. Gavriel came along and pushed the maidservants into the ground. Now, what that sounds like is he killed them. He killed them, right? He killed them in order that they should not persuade Basparo to not save baby Moshe. Batishlach es amasa batigacha. So Basparo extended amasa. And she took the basket. What's Amasa? Rabbi Yudra Minechemia. Chad Amar Yada. One says it refers to her hand. The Chad Amar Shivchasa. One says it refers to her maidservant. Manda Amar Yada. The one who says it was her hand. The Chsiv Amasa. Umanda Amar Shivchasa. Maidservant. Midlok Siv Yada. Okay, it should have said Yad. Umanda Amar Shivchasa. Ha Amrit Bagavriel Vachavta Makarka. But the one who says that Basparo sent the maidservant to retrieve the basket, you just said before that what? Gavriel killed the maidservants, right? The Shir La Chada. He left one maidservant alive. The Lav Orcha de Basmalka La Mekam Luchuda. Because it's not appropriate for monarchy, for a princess, to be without a maidservant. Ulamand Amar Yada. Lichtov Yada. But according to the opinion who says that she extended her hand, so why not say Vatishlach Es Yada? Why does it have to say Amasa? It was his wild. Hakamash Malan, the Ishtarvev Ishtarvuve. Ultimately, again, what happened? About say miracle occurred, and Basparo's hand miraculously extended. In other words, she wasn't naturally able to reach the basket. A miracle occurred that allowed her arm to extend. Amar Mar, V'chena tamotze ba'amasa shal Basparo, the same miracle that occurred with the hand of Paro, V'chena tamotze b'shinei rishoyim d'chsiv, shinei rishoyim shibarto, v'amrei shlokish al-tikri shibarto, elish rivavto. So we'll say, Rashi quotes over here, a miracle that occurred with the teeth of Og Melech HaBashan, same, we're not going to get into it now, but same miracle that occurred with the scepter of Achashverosh, Rashi says. Right, the scepter of Achashverosh extended as well when Esther Malka went in. So we'll say, so a miracle occurred over here, so therefore, Tishlach as Amasa means what? She extended her hand, a miracle occurred, and her hand extended even further than possible to go ahead and reach the basket. I will say, so remember again, I've said this many times, the famous idea by the Lublino Rav, Rav Meir Shapira of Lublin. Well, so we, even though I've said it before, we have to quote it because we're learning Daf Yomi. The Lublin Rav will say, so Lublin Rav asks a good kasha. So we'll say, he says over here, Fatishlach Hazamasa means a miracle occurred and that her hand extended. Ask Lublin Rav, let me ask you, if something, right? We'll say, if I want the tissue box on that table over there, am I gonna reach out my hand to get it? No. Why? It's clearly too far. Clearly too far. So why would, in other words, if Basparo needs a miracle in order to go ahead and grab hold of the basket, it means that clearly the basket was out of feasible reach. If it was out of feasible reach, then why did she even bother to extend her hand? And says Lublin Rav, what do you see from here? Sometimes in life, even when something appears out of reach, you still have to try. Still have to try. Sometimes in life, even when something looks impossible, sometimes in life, even when something, you look at something and you see, and there's no physical way I can do that, you still have to try. Still have to try. And when you put in your effort, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along and sees what you want to accomplish, what you want out of life, and the Ribono Shel Olam will help you achieve your objectives. Bas Power reaches out her hands, and essentially she says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to save that baby, but my arm only goes too far. But you know what the incredible yesod is? Where your reach ends is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reach begins. But you cannot access the reach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu until you exhaust the limitations of your own personal reach. You want to accomplish something in life that looks impossible. So we'll say, see, most of us, you see, the great thing is most of us in life, when something looks too far, what do we do? What do we do? We don't even bother to extend our hand. And what Bas Paro teaches us is, just because something looks impossible doesn't mean that you don't reach out. Extend your hand. My reach only extends to here. Got it. It's okay. Where your reach ends is where God's begins. But you have to extend your hand in order to get HaKadosh Baruch Hu to extend your reach. That's the lesson, says Albina Rav, about Bas Paro. Incredible. So we'll say, ultimately, again, she opened and she saw the child. So we'll say, Vatirehu. Vatireh literally means, and she saw him and the child. So the Gemara says, it should have said Vatireh. Or Rabbi Asik, Rabbi Bichanina, Malamich, Sherasa Shechina Imo. It's incredible. She opened the basket. Rabbi says, she didn't just see Moshe. She saw the Shechina along with Moshe. Incredible. Vihine Nar Bocha. There was a Nar crying. So Karile Yelad, Vikarile Nar. So we'll say, which one is it? Yelad means a baby, right? Or a young child. Nar already means like an older child. So what is he, a Yelad or a Nar? Tuana, who Yelad Vikolo Kinar? It was a baby, but his voice was the voice of a Nar. Dev Rabbi Huda. It's the Rabbi Huda. Amar Rabbi Nechemim. Nechemim is Imkain. Asisu Moshe Avinum Balmum. That's, then you made Moshe Avinum Balmum. What is a baby with like a deep voice, like a Nar? Ela Melamed, Rabbi says, so beautiful. Sha'asta lo imo chupas nu'urim beteva amra shemalo eske luchupaso. Rabbi says, this is so moving. What's happening over here is in the back, apparently Yocheved had made Moshe Rabbeinu a chupah, a bridal canopy. A bridal canopy. She put that bridal canopy inside of the basket with Moshe. And she said, you know what? I will probably never merit to see his chupah. I'll never merit to see him grow up. I'll never merit to see what he's going to become. But again, ultimately, again, I'll put the chupah in that. So Shabbos, I tell you something amazing. It sounds like from here that Yocheved did have some semblance of hope that her son would be saved. So I will say, at first glance, it sounds like she had no hope. Number one, based on the fact that they made the basket from inexpensive material, at least according to the first opinion. Number two, I will say, remember again, who follows the basket along the Nile? Only Miriam. Remember again, Yocheved didn't go, Amram didn't go, no one went. And by the way, they didn't ask Miriam to go either, right? Miriam went of her own volition. So I will say, it really sounds like, so on one hand, it sounds like they really had no hope that he was going to survive. Then you see a Gemara like this, that Yocheved took the time to fashion a chuppah, put it in the basket along with baby Moshe. Sounds like she held out some level of hope that maybe somehow, some way, this baby would be found, this baby would be saved, and ultimately, again, maybe, just maybe, he would live to see his chuppah. We'll say, by the way, is this not like the story of the Jewish people? That we always put in a little bit of hope into the basket of hopelessness. This is the story of the Jewish people, right? Often I find myself, when I say, I, Klal Yisrael, find ourselves enveloped in the basket of hopelessness. And yet the power of the Jew is to inject hope even into the basket of hopelessness, right? The basket of hopelessness floating down the Nile, and the chuppah representing that hope for a brighter future nestled in that basket. So incredible. So again, Bas Paro finds the baby. She has compassion on him. She says, oh, this must be a Jewish baby. So the Gemara says, Mina yada. How did she know this? They both say, no, there's a simple answer. How did she know this? How did she know it? How did she know it? Because we'll say, there's a basket floating on there. Who else is putting their baby afloat in the Nile, if not a desperate Jewish woman? But in addition to that, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Shras HaSamol, he had a bris. He had a bris. That was another telltale sign. Rabbi Yochanan, Milamech Nisnamno Shalomidaito. Ultimately, I will say, also, prophetically, she prophesied that, even knowing that she prophesied, Zeh Nofel, Ve'in Achar Nofel, that this was the last baby to fall into the Nile. Moshe was the last baby to be placed in the Nile. So Mahigim, what he's saying over here is that sometimes the nations of the world, they prophesize and they don't even realize what they're prophesizing. How? So let's listen to this. Ra'u, Rabbi say, why did Paro command for the babies to be thrown into the Nile? Right? Why water? Why not burn them, kill them, slaughter them? Why water? Watch this. Ro, because the astrologer saw Ro, Shamoshin Shal Yisrael B'mayim Huloke. The astrologer saw that the savior of the Jewish people would be stricken through water. His downfall would come about through water. Amdu V'gazru, Kalabin Hayilot Hayarot Hashlichu. Sefer Rabbah say, what happened? They got up and they said, throw the babies into the Nile. That right? Kevin the Shadjuel Moshe. Shabbos say when Moshe was set afloat in the Nile, solo chazinon ki ahizimna batul gzeirasayu. Shabbos say, so what happened? When Moshe was set afloat in the Nile, so what happened? They no longer saw the Jewish threat. Right? Why? Because that's incredible. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was set afloat in the Nile. Based on their skewed prophetic vision, they saw the threat has been neutralized. Why? Because ultimately, again, the savior of the Jewish people has been put in the water. Now, what they didn't realize was he wasn't drowned in the water. He was set afloat in the water. So they said, oh, we no longer have to have the gzera. Moshe Rabbeinu was the last baby placed in the Nile. What they didn't know was Shamei Meriva Huloka. They both say they didn't realize that Moshe Rabbeinu's end was going to come about through water, but it wasn't going to be the Nile. When was that, Rabbosai? It was when he struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock in a place called Meimariva. So water was the downfall of Moshe Rabbeinu, but not this water. Interesting, the astrologers of Paro were partly right. Moshe Rabbeinu's end would come through water, but wrong water. Wrong water. But what is amazing is Moshe Rabbeinu was the last baby in Egypt to be thrown into the Nile. Because when he was put afloat, into the Nile, the astrologers thought, oh, we've dealt with the problem. Vayanot kar Moshe, sheshnos aleph alfei regale, amr le Moshe li Yisrael, bishvili nitzaltim kulcha. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, you were all saved because of me. In other words, I will say, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I was the last baby put afloat on an island. Because of me, the rest of you were spared. I will say, now watch this. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa Amar, Oseyom. What says into this? The day that Moshe Rabbeinu was set afloat in the Nile, Esrim ve'echa b'Nisan haya. Rabbi will say, it was the 21st of Nisan. Or in other words, Shvi'i shal Pesach. Shvi Shal Pesach was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was set afloat in the Nile. Amru Malachi Asher Zdeinchash Baruch Hu. So I say, so just to understand over here, it wasn't clear, and this goes back to what I was saying before. This is that it wasn't clear that Moshe Rabbeinu was destined to survive this. Right? Just to understand. Remember again, Amram and Yochavet assume that what? That Lamaisa again, Moshe is going to die. That's why the inexpensive basket, no one follows him. Watch this. The Malachi Ashari say before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Mi Sha'asid Lomar Shira Alayam B'Yom Zeh. He who is destined to ultimately lead Klal Yisrael in Az Yashir on this day, Yilaka B'Yom Zeh. So let's hear what the Malachim are saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, this baby, This baby has such potential. This baby could be the leader. This baby could be the savior. This baby could be the one that in years from now, could lead this people in triumphant song on Shvi'i Shel Pesach in Az Yashir. And he should die on this day. He should die on this day. No. It wasn't Shvi'i Shel Pesach. It wasn't that. Rather, what was it? The 6th of Sivan. Wow. So the Gemara said, listen to this. What's the 6th of Sivan? Shavuos. The man who has the ability to bring down the Torah on this day, should he die on this day? So also, you see from here, by the way, that it wasn't pashut when Moshe Rabbeinu was put on the Nile. We read the story, and for us, the story has a beginning, a middle, and an end, right? The beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu was born. The middle, he's put on the Nile. The end, Bas Paro sweeps him up and he's saved. And we take this as a given sequential order. It's incredible to see that as the events are unfolding, it's not clear what's going to happen. In other words, so the Malachim see baby Moshe floating on the Nile, and the Malachim, it's not clear to them what's going to be. They have to lobby HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They have to lobby Ribon Shel Olam. This is the boy who could lead them in Az Yashir. This is the boy who could grow into the man to bring them the Torah. Save him. Save him. Shavuot say, listen to this. So Bishlam Andamra B'Shisha B'Sivan. Shavuot say, now remember again, let's go back for just a second. How old was Moshe Rabbeinu when he was set afloat on the Nile? How old?
3 months.
Now, watch this. If you say that he was set afloat on the 6th of Sivan, so the story makes sense. Meshkachas la gimel yarche, damar mar, b'shiva ba'adr meis, o b'shiva ba'adr no, Lord Moshe, o b'shiva ba'adr v'atshisha b'sivan, t'las yarche. So I will say, so if you say that this happened on the 6th of Sivan, it makes sense. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was born when? Zayin Adar. So you have Zayin Adar, right? You have Adar, right? Nisan, right? I should say, Adar to Nisan, 1 month, right? Nisan to Iyar, 2 months. Iyar to Sivan, 3 months. It's actually perfect. It's actually perfect. Right? Perfect. Elman, Arim Be'esun Be'echa B'Nisan. Hai, Hechi Mishkachasa. Rabosei, but if you hold that Moshe Rabbeinu was set afloat on the 21st of Nisan, so how do you have 3 months? Rabosei, because remember again, what does that sound like? Actually, what does it sound like? A month and a half, right? From Zayin Adar to the 21st of Sivan, it's the 21st of Nisan is a month and a half. They will say, watch this. That year that Moshe Rabbeinu was born was a leap year. Watch this. They will say, Rubo Shel Rishon, V'Rubo Shel Acharem Tzayshlan. So they will say, why is it 3 months? Watch this. Moshe Rabbeinu was born in Zayin Adar Aleph. So you have Adar Aleph to Adar Beis. So Rabbi says, essentially what you have is like this. You have 3 months. Not three complete months. What do you have? Part of Adar Aleph, part of Nisan, and an entire Adar Beis. That's 3 months. In other words, 3 months doesn't have to be three complete months. 3 months just means, again, one whole month and two partial months. Incredible. Incredible. So Rabbi says, let's go back there. So what happens? And now remember, skipping the part of the story where Bas Paro goes ahead and retrieves him from the water. So what happens? So Miriam comes running, right? So remember again. So Moshe won't nurse. So Vatomra Achoso al Basparo. So Miriam says to Basparo, Ha'elech v'karasilach isha menekes min Ivrios. So Miriam offers. Now remember, we'll say, you have to understand something. Everyone knows, right? We'll say, see, so contrary, see, to the movie, The Ten Commandments, right? So remember again, everyone knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was Jewish. When I say everyone, in other words, Bas Paro knows that he's Jewish, right? Because Vatiftach Vatero, she saw that he was circumcised. No one is circumcising their kids in Egypt except Jews. So she sees that he's circumcised. Furthermore, again, she sees that he's not nursing. So she knows he's Jewish. Miriam knows he's Jewish. So ultimately, again, Miriam says to Bas Paro, should I go and find a Jewish wet nurse? So what happens? So Atamar Achosel Bas Paro Hayilich VeKarasi Lach Isha Menekes Men Evrios Umay Shnami Evrios. So why a Jewish wet nurse? Was it watch this Malamid Shech Ziru LeMoshal Kolam Itzios Kulan? So ultimately, again, so Bas Paro tried to find an Egyptian wet nurse to Moshe Velo Yanak, and Moshe Rabbeinu would not nurse from a non-Jewish woman. Amar. Should the mouth ultimately again that is going to go ahead and speak with the Shechina nurse from a non-Jewish woman behind the Chsiv, Esmi Yoredeya, Lemi Yoredeya, who will be the one who will teach knowledge? Ulemi Yavin Shmua, Legimule Chalav, Ulatiki Meshanaim. Ultimately, and so we'll say, so the Maisa again, Moshe Rabbeinu would not nurse from a non-Jewish woman. I mentioned this also many times. This is a halacha that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that if a Jewish mother cannot go ahead and nurse her child, what should she do? She should try to find a Jewish wet nurse. Right? Why? What's the makar for this halacha? Sota Yud Beis Amud Beis. Moshe Rabbeinu would not nurse from a non-Jewish woman. So you see from here that a Jewish child should ideally nurse from a Jewish woman. I asked the Satmar Rav, Zechusa Yagin Aleinu. But Moshe Gemara says, why wouldn't Moshe Rabbeinu nurse from a non-Jewish woman? Why not? Why not? Because the mouth that is going to speak with the Shechina should... So this doesn't apply to a regular Jewish child. Satmar Rav says, what do you see from here? Every child has to be raised as if he has the ability to become a Moshe Rabbeinu. Also, when we look at our children, we have to see limitless potential. When we look at a Jewish child, ultimately, again, what we could see is here is a boy, here is a girl who could become as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. Raise your children as if the sky is the limit. Raise your children as if they could become the next Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, becoming Moshe Rabbeinu is a relative statement. Moshe Rabbeinu became the best version of Moshe Rabbeinu he could, right? Our children could become the best version of Moshe Rabbeinu, but they have to be raised to believe that they have limitless potential. Therefore, says the Satmar Rav, halacha lemaisa, this halacha is codified for every single Jewish child. If a mother can't nurse her own child, try to go ahead and have a Jewish wet nurse. Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't nurse from a non-Jewish woman because the mouth that would speak with the Shechina should only nurse from a Jewish mother. That same metric, that same potential applies to every Jewish child of the Satmar Rav. So the Gemara goes back to the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Elazar, good. Malamed, I'm sorry. Tomer la bas paro lechi. So daughter of Paro says to Miriam, go and find a Jewish wet nurse. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Malamed, shahalcha bezrizos ka'alma. Ultimately, again, Miriam, who is not so young, that Miriam went with like alacrity, like a young girl. Rabbi Shlomar Nachmani, Amar ha'alma shelima es divareha. Ultimately, again, she concealed her words. Rashi says over Shalom, Amra Shiachoso, Shimevias Imo. Rose, I want to be clear. The Gemara says over here, Miriam never told Bas Paro who she was, that she was the sister of this baby, nor did she ever tell Bas Paro that the wet nurse was Yochaved. All right, Rose, we will stop over here. Whew. What a morning. What a morning. All right, fine. One more piece. Let's get to the end. We're going to start doing daf after davening every morning. I'm going to ask you to quit your day jobs, right? We'll say, let's just do this. So let's just go a little bit back there. So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, "Hey, Mister, I told you about Sparo. Hey, Lichi es hayala daza." Shabbos says, "Sinai, remember again, who becomes the wet nurse? Yocheved." So Yocheved now becomes the wet nurse. So Bas Paro says to Yocheved, "Take the child." Shabbos says, "This is the second time now that Bas Paro prophesied, and she did not even realize what it was that she was saying." Helichi, we'll say now, we translate Helichi as, Bas Paro says to Yocheved, take the child. Helichi is a contraction. Ha, Shelichi. This is yours. This is yours. So we'll say, so Bas Paro thought she was just saying to Yocheved, here, take and nurse the child. So, but rather again, Helichi, hey, this, Shelichi. This is yours. This is yours. So you will say, the Ribono Shel Olam runs the world. And in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, Rabbi Osei, and this is very important as well, if it's yours, it'll come to you. Rabbi Osei, in life sometimes we think that there's like one pie, right? And if Reuven gets a bigger piece, that means that what? You know, I'll say, you know, like sometimes when kids are little, right, the pizza pie comes, and what happens is always that kid who goes for the biggest slice. Why? Right? Because Lamaisa again, right? If someone else gets the biggest slice, then there's less for me. They'll say, that's not how the world works. I mean, it may work that way with pizza, right? But it does not work. It does not work that way in the rest of the world. They'll say, in the world, there's not one pie. In the world, you have your pie, I have my pie. So when you get a lot of the pie, I'm happy for you. Because guess what? Your amount of pie in no way impacts my pie. I will say this is such an important way because sometimes we see people and they get things and they get bracha and we're jealous. Jealousy stems from the fact that I believe that if you get something, that means there's less for me. But in fact, that's not the way the world works. I will say, you've got your stuff, I've got my stuff. The more you get in no way impacts me, which is why we have to condition ourselves that when we see other people encounter success, we should feel happy for them. Because in no way does your success negatively impact or undermine my success. In fact, the happier I am for you, the better the chance that I'll get more of my pie as well. Because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world and everyone gets what they're supposed to get. Rabbi said, what an incredible circle of Rabbi. I just want to point out. Rabbi said, by the way, how long did this take? I mean, I don't know how long it took, but I guarantee you, it didn't take more than a couple of hours. How do you know that it didn't take more than a couple of hours? How do you know, Rabbi? Because Moshe's a baby. What do babies do? What do babies do? Right, cry. What else do they do? They eat, they sleep, and they go to the bathroom. Okay? And they eat relatively quickly, which means that the baby's on the Nile, not for long. Bas Paro gets him. He's got to eat. He's not eating. So how long do you think it takes? Sorry, she tries this wet nurse. There's an urgency. Remember again, and Miriam's there the whole time. Miriam was following the basket. And let's say, this entire thing transpired within a couple of hours. And let's say, so you understand what happened over here? You understand what happened? Imagine the beginning of the day, on Shvi'i Shal Pesach, on the what would be the seventh day of Pesach, Yocheved puts her baby in a basket, says goodbye, thinking she's saying goodbye to her baby, right? Within a matter of hours, what is she doing? She's holding her beloved baby, nursing him. Within a couple of hours. Hey, Lichi. Hey, Shalichi. We'll say, the Ribono Shel Olam runs the world. And if you put your bitachon in him, Chovas HaLevavos, you put your bitachon in him, he's got your back. Within a couple of hours of saying goodbye to her baby, she's holding her baby, her beloved baby, nursing him, literally giving him life once again. That's the world that Ribono Shel Olam runs. All right, they're both saying. Oh, okay. I would say, first of all, Mazel Tov, we are officially caught up with the rest of the Daf Yomi world, and it only took us, how long were we doing this? Oh, an hour and 12 minutes. Not bad at all. I was saying, but what a daf. I will say, by the way, I did record two shiurim for Chovas HaLevavos yesterday. They are posted on the Chovas HaLevavos chat. If you're not there, let me know. I'll add you to that chat as well. I'll record today's shiur. So I will say, Shkoyach. Was it right?